If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Careers Corner
on Kaya Biz.
This is a conversation you're going to want to increase the volume for. Grab a notebook and pen, and even press record on your phone to make sure that you actually encapsulate much of the information we'll share with you. So as you would be well aware, over the last few weeks, we've been analyzing the budget speech and the outcomes that have come from it. One of the big issues that was discussed and continues to be debated by parliamentary members is the proposed 0.5% increase in VAT. But it's where the changes did not take place that we also need to pay attention to. During our Budget Day special speech and broadcast, I had highlighted, as we spoke to the commissioner, as well as several economists, the fact that there have been no inflationary increases to personal income tax. In other words, bracket creep. That means that you as a South African, should you receive an increase in your salary that is in line with inflation or above, it could potentially put you into a higher tax bracket. And as a result, you pay more tax than what you could potentially take home. So our next guest tonight is going to give us some insight into this. Tanya Tossen, a tax and remuneration specialist at Tax Consulting South Africa. Tanya, firstly, thank you so much for your patience with us this evening. We got excited talking about all things property, and here we are getting excited to talk about our salaries and taxes as well. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Gugu. It's a pleasure to be here this evening, and thank you for having me.
Fantastic. I guess first things first, Tanya, I can imagine that this is a question you've had to answer with many of your peers around the boardroom, the braai, maybe even the school drop-off. But let's just contextualize what bracket creep is and why it stands out so much in this year's proposed budget speech. In the lack, the no change in inflation to the personal income tax brackets, help us contextualize in detail what it does mean.
So, Gugu, it's a very good question. And to bring it into layman's terms, to be honest with you, I was quite excited to hear that with the initial budget speech, they were proposing to give us some inflation readjustment relief. And in essence, that would mean most seen that their net take-home pay would have increased in February because we would have paid less tax.
Mm-hmm.
But now what's happened is that because they haven't adjusted the tax brackets again for the second year running, when employees get an increase and they're nearing the next marginal tax bracket, part of that increase could be taxed at the lower rate and part of it at the higher rate. So basically, that's what bracket creep means. You are eroding that increase because it's not being taxed, let's say, at the 26% marginal tax rate.
Yes.
Some of it would fall into the 31%, as an example.
This is what makes us anxious, right, Tanya? Because none of us want to receive an increase only to pay more taxes and take less money home. So help us understand the impact that this does have on us as South Africans, especially should one be in line for a salary increase.
And yes, that's another very good question, Gugu. Because, you know, the budget speech indicated that inflation was 4.3% for the year, and that's based on CPI.
Mm-hmm.
So what employees and employers should understand that is even if an employer gives you a 4.3% increase, it still doesn't bring you up to getting that buying power of inflation because the tax brackets weren't adjusted. So, you know, I've had to do some presentations and calculations, and in a nutshell, you know, it, depending where you fall in the tax bracket, and it's quite complex, actually, you know, employees should understand that CPI, that increase of 4.3% should actually equate to a minimum of between 5 and 5.2% to actually just bring you up to that buying power of, you know, bringing you to that inflation adjustment.
So in other words, let's simplify this. Sorry, Tanya, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. If my employer, Kaya FM, Kaya 959, says to me, Googs, we're giving you an increase and it's at 5.2% or 5%. Does that mean it could potentially then push me to that higher tax bracket?
So, yes, number one, it could push you to a higher tax bracket, so it can erode some of that increase. Number two, that's just giving you an inflationary adjustment
mm-hmm.
increase, which means if you're a top performer and you want to attract and retain that talent, even a 5% increase is not sufficient.
Oh, it's too low.
And with the strain, Yeah, it is too low. You know, with the strain of the economy and companies not being able to give bigger increases, you know, I get contacted quite regularly on how can organizations work smarter in structuring packages more effectively, because it's becoming a constant problem in the market now.
100%. Oh, Tanya, this is where I get excited, because I can imagine it's been bonus season for a lot of the banks and financial services institutions. So I'm keen to understand, would it also play an influence there?
Absolutely. Because remember, if you are receiving this wonderful bonus, that can technically push that tipping point that you could be jumping multiple tax brackets now. So then your increase just gets eroded even more. You know, by that great bonus expecting to receive. So again, you know, you're just getting less and less into your net take-home pay.
Mm-hmm.
And what people lose sight of is that it's not just your increase. Remember, your cost of living expenses are also increasing with inflation. And we've got that pressure of the potential of the VAT increase coming on board, which means everything becomes more expensive for consumers. So again, just indicating to all employers and employees that they need to think very carefully how they want to reward their key talent this year.
Got you. I'm so glad you mentioned this, because it also speaks to the double whammy, right? Not only in terms of personal income tax, but also when it comes to the proposed VAT increase. Let's bring it home, though. Before we get to the solutions as to how we can manage this, let's take a look at the numbers more closely. And you've put together a wonderful analysis that looks at the impact on high income earners, around 2 million rand a year, versus middle income earners who earn around 360,000 rand a year, so around 30,000 rand a month, and the difference of the salary increases would make in terms of the tax contribution and responsibility that they have. Contextualize this for us, because for me the magic number is 5%, and as we've discussed, it's already quite low. Yeah.
So remember, 5% just brings you up to inflation.
Yes.
Obviously, if you want to, you know, attract and retain the talent, you're going to want to offer a bit more. But Gugu, what was also announced in the budget speech is all our government have proposed a 5.5% increase. So they're not even getting CPI. They've negotiated a higher increase than was originally anticipated. And people need to contextualize that as well. So just to give you context, on a 2 million rand package, if I wanted to keep up with inflation on a 5.5% increase, I would actually have to ask my employer, because the tax brackets weren't adjusted, for at least 6.13% to bring me up to that same buying power of that 5.5%, if that makes sense.
Got you. You'd actually negotiate six. That's just to get you back to the same buying power, not even to feel the impact of having more money in the bank,
exactly.
Essentially.
Absolutely.
Tanya.
And that's what makes this so complex and so technical. And, you know, employers and employees should actually understand. If they don't crunch the numbers, they don't see the numbers, everybody's worse off, sadly.
Exactly. And for middle income earners, is there a particular level or what's the percentage
no,
that it should be?
So unfortunately, it impacts everyone. So what's interesting, Gugu, is, you know, they were giving higher inflationary adjustments to the lower income tax brackets for the first proposed tax table. But ultimately, this will impact every single employee across the board.
100%.
If you want to play it fair.
Yeah. And as you've mentioned, this is... goodness, it impacts those in the private sector, even government employees who will also feel the pinch. And maybe that's also an aspect we need to address, because so often we think that those who are in the public sector might get some level of reprieve.
Absolutely. So they've even, you know, noticed that they're going to require higher salary increases. So it just, you know, puts things into context as well. You know, I've had insights from other clients of mine, you know, that are proposing a much lower increase than even CPI, which is the 4.3%. Funny enough, I consulted with a client today, an international organization. They gave their salary increase letters out last week, Thursday, before the public holiday, which was below CPI. And this client told me that some of the employees didn't come to work today. So we're in for some very interesting times, I must tell.
Look at that way. If you want to give your employees a day off, just give them a letter notifying them, find got some increases. So Tanya, what you're what you're describing here, I think, has the opportunity to empower us all, right? There might be employers sitting on the other end of the spectrum saying, the business isn't doing well, the economy's tough and it's tight, costs are increasing, and all I can give you is 5% or a 6.3% increase that will just, you know, bring you back to the level of living that you used to. And on the other hand, you have employees who say, no ways. I work hard. I'm fully committed and dedicated. I've shown growth. I've brought in revenue for the business. I'm a star performer. I need an above inflation increase. As a matter of fact, make it double digits. Where do we find the middle ground? Where do we find the middle ground for both?
That's a very good question. And you know, Gugu, you have to understand it. I'm sure you see it. You know, when you go to shopping centers just to buy basic groceries, people are taking strain. They've got debt. You know, we look at medical aid increase just as one item. It goes up in double digits, you know. So, you know, there's a lot of variables and factors. But what we see that works best in the market is where companies adopt a cost-to-company approach, but with flexible benefits. So you're seeing more and more organizations, and we're actually even seeing retail companies jumping to this bandwagon, is where you structure flexibility within certain parameters. And I'm talking about like your retirement and your risk benefits. You can allow your employees to structure a package with either more cash, less benefits, or more benefits, less cash. And therefore, you know, it doesn't cost the employer necessarily more money. We maintain your cost, but you empower those employees, you know, to actually look at what are their needs according to their financial and lifestyle requirements, mm-hmm. and they structure a package that's suited to them. Then those types of employers have a little bit more leverage where they can offer slightly lower increases, and, you know, they buffered because employees could sacrifice some of their risk benefits to get more cash, as an example.
Gotcha.
You know, if they're young and single. So there are mechanisms where you can optimize or tax optimize your remuneration structure if this is done very carefully and, you know, considered very carefully on what structure you want to give to that, you know, that talent workforce that you're trying to attract and retain.
Would it have to be bespoke and on an individualized basis? And I ask this because one party might be single, living wild and free, and another might have a family that they're responsible for.
Yes. So the structure is done on an organization level. And that's where a lot of people, you know, if I get an individual who says, please help me structure my package, it has to be a collective decision by like a board of directors where everybody gets this benefit. And that's where it really works extremely well. And it really is the way to go in South Africa.
You mentioned that this typically works in cost to company. I'm keen to understand if that's a standard approach for various employment contracts, because I'm assuming, depending on your employment contract, that will largely then influence the remuneration structure.
Absolutely. Remember, a lot of your international organizations in South Africa, we actually use two methodologies. We use a basic plus remuneration methodology, where you get an employment contract, which gives you a basic salary, and they add benefits on top of that. And the other methodology is where an employer would offer you a cost to company, you would structure some benefits out of it, and whatever's left over becomes your cash. But you would find most of your multinationals and your international organizations adopt that basic plus methodology because internationally people understand that. But that methodology doesn't work well in South Africa. And that's where the cost to company with the flexible benefits really trumps and outweighs that basic plus methodology.
Sure. And on that note, Tanya, because I can imagine it will differ from employer to employer, those probably working for larger corporates might have a lot more flexibility and options available to them. What about those perhaps who might work for slightly smaller enterprises or medium enterprises in South Africa's economy? Do they often consult with you to evaluate the best remuneration structures?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, big or small, I think employees need to constantly be on their toes, you know, understand what's happening in the markets. You also need to look at, you know, benchmarking your key talent. Are you paying them correctly in the market? Otherwise, your competitors are just going to steal your key talent. You know, generally, there's no loyalty in organizations. And people, especially in these tough economic times, will jump for that extra buck. You know, so employers need to be kept on their toes and, you know, keep their head on the ground, understanding what's happening in the market, understanding the intricacies of tax specifically, especially after what we've gone through this year after the budget speech. It's absolutely critical.
Yeah.
And, you know, when an employee comes to you now and they really say they're worse off, I think employers need to actually sit down and really take stock and listen to employees this year.
Tanya, many of my listeners might ask, what's the magic negotiate going forward?
It's a tough one because, you know, there's so many moving parts, and it's unfortunately our tax system is quite complex. So, I mean, it's something I'm passionate about on employees' tax and benefits, and I've been working with it for over two decades. So, you know, if the listeners are keen, I run a two-day tax and benefits workshop where they can understand these intricacies and they can do practical calculations with me to understand. And then they have that aha moment, you know. But, you know, I've tried to bring it down to layman's terms. And there are some basic fundamentals that everyone should understand.
You know, 100%.
Just to have that first discussion at least.
100%. Thank you so much for indulging us tonight, Tanya, and leaving us feeling a lot more empowered, because now instead of just going blindly into conversations, but beyond that, also having not, you know, we need to do the maths in terms of, you know, making sure that whatever income we receive, coupled with the deductions and many other themes, we are fully mindful of how much it is that we are receiving, and not having tax eat too much into our profitability and our earnings. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you, Gugu, and you hit it spot on the nail.
Oh,
hope you have a super evening.
Have a fantastic one, too. That's Tanya Tossin, who's a tax and remuneration specialist at Tax Consulting South Africa. Oh, man. As you've heard, do the maths, run the numbers, but make sure that whether you're an employee or an employer, you fully understand the dynamics of adequate remuneration for star performers, those who continue to contribute to the bottom line, but also making sure that you're able to retain talent and keep the business going within your organization. Share your thoughts, 0636880959. You're listening to Kaya Biz. We're more than happy to get your comments, questions and feedback on the conversations we've had so far on the show. Right now, though, it's almost 7:45.
And if you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.